Jesus told his followers during his earthly ministry this: if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. A woman entered Covenant Christian School in Nashville, shooting and killing 6 people, including 3 children under the age of 10. Radical members of an Israeli legislature propose an amendment that would imprison anyone converting people away from Judaism, and they call out Christians in particular. A man is disqualified as a CPC candidate, possibly due to his stance against preborn baby murder. Shortly after those words, Jesus spoke to his disciples, the one that I just read. Our Lord said this: in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And we echo the words of that great hymn from Martin Luther: and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. It's March 29th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck. And this is the Liberty Dispatch.
Hello and welcome to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. It is a difficult program that we have before us, and we do want to take a moment to just say our hearts, our prayers go out to those grieved families who are dealing with the tragic loss of their children and their loved ones in Nashville. Before we get into any of the actual accounting, the information, we did want to just say that, because it is with a heavy heart that we touch on the things that we're going to have to touch on in this program. Wherever you're getting our content from, whether it's on YouTube or whether it's on Rumble, we would ask that you would like, subscribe, rate, and review. You can get us on YouTube at Liberty for Canada is the username. So youtube.com at Liberty for Canada. You can also get us over at Rumble if you type in Liberty Coalition over there. That would be wonderful. We're also on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, flfnetwork.com, where you can get our podcasts as well as many other wonderful podcasts over on that network. We're also on their handy app, where you can get our content on demand when you want it, right on your phone. So if you want to have our podcast as well as the myriad of different shows on the FLF Canada as well as the FLF USA, definitely go over to your Google Play or your Apple App Stores. Get that going right away. You're not going to regret it. Our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com. Check out all things Liberty Coalition Canada over there, whether our legal advocacy, our various initiatives, or indeed our news and commentary. You're going to want to get over there and check that out. Also, while you're over there, be sure to sign up to our email list. And if you would prayerfully consider, please leave us a donation. We're continually growing. We're continually thinking up new stuff. We have so many new things in the work. It's just taken time to launch all the new ideas that we're doing and everything. We run a pretty lean organization over here, but we would pray that you would consider partnering with us in this work and continuing to push back against mainstream media lives and fight for Canadians' God-given rights and civic freedoms as well. So please go over to libertycoalitioncanada.com, scan the helpful QR code at the bottom of the screen, or go over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. Please consider doing that. Would you also, if you want to connect up with us directly, please reach out to us, mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com, for any comments, questions, concerns, questions, whatever you have. Please direct them for the news and commentary over there.
Yeah, thank you all so much for being such an active, involved, and well-responding audience. There's been a ton of emails that have come in, people still looking for good churches, people giving feedback. There's been a number of emails, and we're especially grateful for this. I know I am, as we're crafting our scripts and considering what stories to cover. There's been a lot of great input from our audience with articles and information, stuff that maybe we're not aware of or we haven't gotten time to look around, you know, cut and look into. So thank you so much. We appreciate every single email that you send. We love to be able to help and inform and direct. And so do not stop. Continue to reach out to us, mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. Friends, you might think that woke politics and medical tyranny have destroyed the Canadian workplace, but did you know that some companies are standing up and saying no? Over 2,000 companies have pledged to honor free speech and medical privacy at redballoon.work, and Red Balloon is here in Canada. Business owners, you can find top-tier, values-aligned talent and get help building an uncancelable pro-freedom workplace. Job seekers, you can find courageous companies that share and protect your values. Go sign up today at redballoon.work/LCC. Again, that's redballoon.work/LCC. You know, Matt said at the top of the show that this is a particularly difficult show. Mm-hmm. The subject matter is kind of close in the sense that, you know, I know and am connected with people who have friends and even family members who are involved with the Covenant Christian School in Nashville. And the circumstances surrounding this are particularly tragic for a number of reasons. I mean, we believe that the intentional taking of innocent human life is always a cause for grief and sorrow. In every circumstance, anywhere from womb to tomb, the intentional taking of human life is tragic, especially when it is the life of a young child. So we have to report on this evil shooting that took place Monday morning at Covenant Christian School, which is a private school in Nashville. The shooter, Audrey Hale, shot and killed 6 people, 3 adults and 3 children under the age of 10. The officers received reports of the attack around 10:13 yesterday morning, and around 10:27 in the morning, Hale was fatally shot by officers who were responding to the attack. We want to give you some of the specifics based on what we know so far from police reports and investigation. Police revealed that Hale had a drawn and detailed map of the school, which included potential entry points and had planned surveillance. Nashville Police Chief John Drake said that they are reviewing a manifesto and writings from Hale, whom they called a quote-unquote lone zealot. Mr. Drake said this, quote, "We have a manifesto. We have some writings that we're going over that pertain to this death, to this date, the actual incident. We have a map drawn out of how this was all going to take place." Close quote. Mr. Drake told NBC News that investigators believe the shooting stemmed from some resentment Hale harbored, quote, "for having to go to that school when she was younger," close quote. The Chief Drake added that Hale was, quote, "prepared to do more harm than was actually done," close quote, and that she had drawn up plans to attack another school in the area, but backed out of them because the school was too secure. Drake said this, quote, "there was another location mentioned, but because of a threat assessment by the suspect and too much security, they decided not to. And that area was here in Nashville," close quote. So we give you some of those specifics because we want you to know that this was clearly premeditated, planning. A manifesto was written, a map, a plan of execution, and a level of intentionality that also desired to do this at other locations. But the one thing that deterred this woman from going to these other locations, or at least one other location, was because of the security present that wouldn't allow her to just walk into the school, which is what she did at Covenant Christian School. Now, those details matter, especially when we offer some of our Christian worldview analysis of this. It's good to know these details because they're going to be important.
Asked whether Hale's identity could be a factor in the motive, Drake said authorities feel that she identifies as trans, but we're still in the initial investigation into all of that. And if it actually played a role into this incident. In online profiles, Hale had indicated that they used he, him pronouns and also went by the name Aiden. Hale was an alumnus of the small private Christian school. There's some belief that there was some resentment for having to go to that school, Drake told the NBC News's Lester Holt on Monday evening. Don't have all the details to that just yet, and that's why this incident occurred. The school focuses its curriculum on biblical theology, where students take classes about the Bible along with standard education courses. Its motto is Shepherding Hearts, Empowering Minds, Celebrating Childhood. At 9:57 a.m., a former middle school basketball teammate of Audrey Hale looked at her phone to find messages from the Covenant school shooter on Instagram. And we are going to pull up some of those messages, but this is what the teammate had to say. I tried to comfort and encourage her and subsequently reach out to the suicide prevention helpline after being instructed to by my father at 10:08 a.m. Audrey has shared with others that she had been suicidal in the past, and I knew to take this serious, Patent said to News Channel 5.
Another important detail, again, that this is that there's a past history of suicidality known by multiple people. This didn't just spring out of nowhere.
Yes, absolutely. So here's the actual conversation that took place. So we can see Audrey Hale identifying as Aiden in the profile here. This is the message that was sent. So basically, that post I made on here about you, that was basically a suicide note, quote unquote, I'm planning to die today. This is not a joke. You probably hear about me on the news after I die. This is my last goodbye. I love you. See you again in another life. Signed, Audrey, and then in brackets, Aiden. So she signed it in her old name. I don't know. Is that dead naming yourself? I'm not 100% sure. It continues. After the friend, the teammate responds here, Audrey, you have so much more life to live. I pray God keeps you and covers you. This is the response from Audrey Hale. I know, but I don't want to live. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to upset you or get attention. I just need to die. I wanted to tell you first because you are the most beautiful person I've ever seen and known all my life. My family doesn't know what I'm about to do. One day this will make more sense. I have left more than enough evidence behind, but something bad is about to happen, reads the text messages.
So, again, before we're going to view this from a Christian perspective, but before we're going to attempt to analyze this and all the specific details from a biblical foundation and life and worldview, which really is the only worldview that can account for truth and good and evil and really make sense of what's going on in the world. No other, a Darwinian evolutionist worldview can't make sense of this. A pagan worldview can't make sense of this. No other system of belief or philosophical world and life view foundation can really understand what's going on other than a Christian one. And anyone who attempts to do that and gets any of it correct, it's because whether they realize it or not, they're probably borrowing from a Christian worldview when they talk about good, evil, mercy, tragedy, sorrow. So before we get into that, what we need to highlight, to no one's surprise, by the way, in what I can only call a shameful, despicable, and utterly vile and godless attempt to Pravda us, the legacy media and state officials are attempting to craft their own narrative and engage in their own partisan hackery. So here's ABC's Terry Moronin in a not so subtle manner trying to say that this shooting is connected to Tennessee recently outlawing physical mutilation for children and prohibiting drag story hours. So he doesn't come right out and say it, but you're going to see he just transitions from one to the next because he wants to try to tie these together and say this happened because these things have happened. Let's watch this clip together.
All right, that is Police Chief John Drake of Nashville, who is briefing reporters on the deadly grade school shooting in Nashville at the Covenant School there this morning. The police confirming 6 dead, 3 children, 1 8 years old, 2 9 years old, and 3 adults, including Catherine Kuntz, who is the head of the Covenant School. The police chief also said that the shooter has been identified as 28-year-old female Audrey Hale. He said she's a former student of the school and confirmed that Audrey Hale identified herself as a transgender person. The state of Tennessee earlier this month passed and the governor signed a bill that banned transgender medical care for minors, as well as a law that prohibited adult entertainment, including male and female impersonators, after a series of drag show controversies in that state.
So that wasn't by accident. Okay, that was
a crafting of a narrative.
Yeah, it was. Well, when we outlaw it, because the state is not doing everything it can to help these young people who struggle with their gender dysphoria, what else do you expect? They're going to lash out and shoot people. That's what they're trying to spin. And so that's despicable. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's vile.
Not surprising.
And in another instance of glorious propaganda, here's a White House press secretary, Karen Jean-Pierre, and you'll see she is stumbling over her own words. She can't even clearly articulate the position without mumbling and stumbling. Why? Because the spin is so strong.
It's spinning up in her lips.
She can't even keep her words and composure together because she needs to make sure that she gets out exactly what she needs to say and do a tremendous tap dance around truth and objectivity. So let's watch this clip.
About what is known so far. We want to express the president's appreciation for the first responders and prayers for all the families affected by this shooting.
Pause for a sec. So just so we're clear, I thought that police officers are racist. They're gunning down black men in the street and we need to defund the police and it's okay to riot against them and throw Molotov cocktails and bricks at them when they're guarding federal property. But now we're so deeply thankful for them because you have to get on the right side of the story. So this is not principled people. These are political pragmatists who understand that they can't come right out and say, well, those racist cops, I mean, at least they got something right. They can't say that. So it's all spin here. It's all spin.
Yeah, and not to mention she uses the idea the what I thought from the left was a tired and vacuous trope like thoughts and prayers. I thought we weren't supposed to do that, but I guess when it's convenient for them and their messaging, they do like to send those well wishes out to people in that way. I guess especially in light of the fact that this gunman, gunwoman. Gunned down children at a Christian school.
Don't know yet all the details in this latest tragic shooting. We know that too often our schools and communities are being devastated by gun violence. Schools should be safe spaces for our kids to grow and learn and for our educators to teach.
So she doesn't actually believe that, because if she did believe that, schools would not be places where children are indoctrinated with devastating, destructive ideologies, where teachers are allowed to help young children mutilate themselves, chemically castrate themselves without parental consent, because it's to be glorified. So they don't actually believe that that's what schools are. They believe that schools are supposed to be places where we indoctrinate children. So that's another lie, and we know to see through that. Let's continue here.
As you all know, President Biden has taken more action than any president in history on gun safety.
And
there's the
leftist pivot. And it must be understood that when this actually took place, this is very quickly after the event took place, and they really didn't have much information on who the shooter was, on the extent of what took place. So this is just a knee-jerk political reaction by the left who want to take away people's guns. This is just another incident of why we need to basically abolish the Second Amendment. And they do this without giving a thought. This is just knee-jerk, right into it, get the spin machine going. Let's use this tragedy to push a political narrative and to push for our preferred political outcomes. That's what that is.
From nearly two dozen actions, including the executive order he just signed last month, or this month, pardon me, to the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act legislation he signed into law after the tragedies in Uvalde and Buffalo. He also believes it's not enough. We must do more, and he wants Congress to act, because enough is enough. In his State of the Union, the President called on Congress to do something to stop the epidemic of gun violence, tearing families apart, tearing communities apart. How many more children have to be murdered before Republicans in Congress will step up and act to pass the assault weapons ban?
So right there, just callous political maneuver, blaming one party for not getting this done. So, I mean, there you go. That's some
sick
stuff.
But you know what? I'm kind of in agreement with her a little bit, but from a different perspective. And I would say, yeah, where are Republicans standing up and actually offering anti-baby murder legislation? So I would agree with her. Children are murdered. Mm-hmm. A million children are murdered in the United States each year before they have a chance to breathe their own oxygen.
Yeah.
Where are the Republicans who are standing up and saying, we will outlaw this? So
amen.
She's right for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. But again, the understanding, the senseless murder of children.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What about the 1 million senseless murders of children? And so it's funny. Even during the convoy that this, you know, they were saying that children were being used as human shields or political pawns so that police. But no one uses children and the suffering of children as political pawns to deflect more than the radical left does. Shame on them.
Yeah. Then the groomer left, the radical left, and the fact of the matter, they love to throw out the trope that the leading cause of death among children in America now is gun violence. That's absolutely not true. It is by far abortion. That is by far and away what is the leading cause of death. And apparently that's appropriate if the child is just young, less developed, in their mother's wombs, and instead of shooting them, you rip off their arms and legs with forceps.
And
apparently
and
that's appropriate.
A close second to that would now be death and complications from an experimental gene therapy injection. There's probably more kids in the United States who died from that last year than from gun violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's continue.
To close loopholes in our background in our background check system, or to require the safe storage of guns. We need to do something. Once again, the president calls on Congress to do something before another child is senselessly killed in a preventable act of gun violence. Again, We need to do something.
Right. Outlaw abortion.
Yeah. Well,
before another child, before another 30 children are murdered today, mm-hmm. inside of abortion mills, they need to do so. This is spin. This is propaganda. They don't actually care. Like this is in part what's enraging. It's they don't actually care. So it's not as if they really do care, mm-hmm. but know that they need to put some sort of political peanut butter on it. They don't care. They are utterly cold and calloused about the fact that children are murdered, whether it's in the womb or in schools. They actually don't care at all. They just do what they need to advance their political agenda. And this is a secondary issue from the main issue as well. And really kind of what we want to riff on a bit here is the two main issues are, one, the clear anti-Christian sentiment in these murders, that it was someone who went to the school, who then came to the school, who in the manifesto, so it's clearly an anti-Christian thing, clearly, but you're not going to hear that. So that's the first story. The first story is that everyone is condemning, you know, the shooting in general, right? But it's funny how whenever it's a white guy who kills a bunch of non-white people, clearly we can know the motive. The motive is racist, hateful, transphobic, you know, homophobic, whatever. But whenever it doesn't fit to actually reveal the motive, then it just becomes a generic shooting of children. And so the fact that the legacy media is not going to be fully honest about these details, that there is a clear anti-Christian bent in all of this, reveals a very shameful reality, which is it's okay. Like, that's what they're basically saying. It is okay to be anti-Christian, and it is okay to not mourn the loss of Christian life. And it is okay at the disintegration and destruction of Christian churches and the Christian religion in North America. That's totally fine. That's the first problem. Mm-hmm. And then the second problem is, what really would have prevented this? Like, what things could we have done to actually help tragedies like this not happen? So I don't know which one you want to, where you want to jump in first.
Well, it's not clear.
I'll let you go first.
On the last one, it's not clear that any of the laws that are being forwarded would have actually prevented this from taking place. And cream jump here. Are the supposed mental health red flags, are they going to be, is a part of that going to include transgender people who have a suicidality rate of self-harm that's 19 times higher than any other demographic in the world? Nevertheless, I'll let you touch that one.
In the history of humanity.
Yeah, exactly. I'll let you touch that one. I want to focus on the fact that what we saw take place is an anti-Christian, deliberately targeted incident of hate. And the fact of the matter is, it was not put forward as that by any mainstream media, with maybe the exception of the New York Post. I think the New York Post was the only one that ran a headline that was essentially trans activist targets Christian in a hate incident. And that's what we're seeing over and over and over and over and over again. We're told it's Christians, far right, theocratic extremists who are the ones that ought to be feared. And Mike has just released a program with AJ Hurley, who discovered 115 bodies of dead babies mutilated in an abortion mill. That's supposedly a good thing, a virtuous thing from the left. And it's not the doctor who appeared to have done a partial birth abortion, which is against the law, he engaged in infanticide of full-formed babies who was being persecuted by the Biden DOJ, by the FBI. It's pro-lifers who are exposing this thing and these things that are getting persecuted. It's David Daladin when he's exposing that Planned Parenthood is selling the body parts of aborted fetuses, of aborted little babies, for profits and targeting them in partial birth abortions that they might have those parts of their bodies intact. He's the one who's being put on trial. Over and over and over again, we see anti-hate groups like the SPLC, or in Canada, Anti-Hate Canada, say that churches and pro-life groups, these are the groups that need to be targeted and need to be put on watch lists for domestic terrorism. But what have we seen just in the recent past is a plethora of people who identify as transgendered engaging in mass shootings. They don't only engage in self-harm, but they're also now engaging in direct targeted harm. And in this case, it's clear, as you said, Andrew, that there was plenty of motive. There was plenty of thought through. The Audrey Hale went and she looked at multiple schools in which she could engage in the shooting. And she callously targeted children and adults in this Christian school because of this trans ideology. And essentially, it's an ideology that says if you don't go along with their delusion, if you don't go along with how they self-identify, you're trying to engage in erasing their being, because they believe in this Cartesian dualism. And therefore, it's not a hard step to get to, well, if you're trying to erase me, if you're trying to do violence against my person, why wouldn't I do violence against you? And I say that, and that sounds extreme, but you can go on Twitter and you can see people defending the actions of what has been done, in the sense that people are saying, well, it's hard to be bullied your whole life. They're making excuses for this, as though being bullied justifies taking a gun and gunning down children with malice aforethought in a school. That's insanity. But that's the way that people think. And Andrew, the case of the matter is, we've touched on it over and over again, especially in the last few programs. Bullying, in their mind, can just be not celebrating their delusion, right? We've seen that over and over and over again. That's an act of hate. That's an act of homophobia, transphobia, to just not accept their view of sex and gender and all those things. That in and of itself is hate, is erasure, is violence, according to their Marcusean repressive tolerance idea. And then why should we be surprised if we see things like this, Andrew? The Trans Day of Vengeance. Stop Trans Genocide, Trans Day of Vengeance. April 1st at 11 a.m., they're assembling at SCOTUS. Wear a mask, bring a buddy. It's put on by the Trans Radical Activism Network, which is TRAN. You can see that at the bottom of the page. I thought initially this was just going to be an April Fool's joke, but it is not, because it's not only on April 1st, it's on, according to their website, March 31st as well. We'll provide the link in the description so you can see that. But this is where this rhetoric, this is where this idea comes from, that Nashville, they're already engaged in trans genocide, right? Because they're saying it's inappropriate to mutilate children with drugs and surgeries that they cannot consent to. That is, for these activists, for people like Audrey Hale, already active genocidal violence. Therefore, what she did in targeting and shooting innocent, defenseless teachers and children was an act of self-defense. That's what it amounts to. That's how we can get there, Andrew. And what did, when I say Marcusean repressive tolerance, what is his book about? Repressive tolerance. He talks about how any movement from the right needs to be violently pre-censored. Any radical leftism is good and should be celebrated, but any sort of rhetoric coming to the right needs to be actively suppressed and even to the point of violently repressing it in the before it even happens. That's the situation. That's a culture we live in. And are we surprised when we see these things happen? No. I just laid out the logic, the thinking of why this to Audrey or many transgender people might make sense. Why we're seeing Trans Day of Vengeance taking place. It's absurd. This is callous. It's disgusting. I watched the body cam film of the police who did a wonderful job putting down the shooter. They acted quickly and decisively. And it's good guys with guns who put down the violent trans activist in this case. Mm-hmm. And it was shocking. It was hard to watch. I got very emotional. And the reality of the situation is that this is a grave tragedy that was heightened by media rhetoric, by political rhetoric, and by a group of leftist ideologues who are gaining more and more steam and who are becoming more and more violent. There's also video of trans activists beating up old women in the UK because they're TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists. This trans movement is extraordinarily subversive culturally, and it's extraordinarily violent. And that's what we're seeing over and over and over again. And I will provide in the link in the descriptions below just a modicum of evidence about just that, so people can see this is getting ridiculous. And far from people putting down their guns and giving up that Second Amendment, this is, if you're thinking of the fact that you have a violent radical left-wing extremist group coming after and coming for Christian parents and children in a cowardly fashion, directing their anger against defenseless children, that should not cause Christians to want to lay down arms, but to defend themselves, to make sure that they have what they need to protect those children. And
yeah, this is where I want to jump in on this with some comments.
Yeah, exactly.
As Karen Jean-Pierre said, we need to do something. We need to pass this gun banning legislation. But what's interesting about this story is that Audrey Hale didn't go to another location because of the security present, which means if the same security was present at this school, she probably wouldn't have gone there either, which means what? Which means when bad guys with guns are faced with the potential opposition of good guys with guns, it acts as a deterrent. Now, the reality is responsible legal gun owners who are either staff at a school or security at a school are not going to turn their guns inward and shoot the children, nor are they more likely to engage in gun-related crime outside of the school. But it would have been more guns, or it's the presence of more weapons in the hands of responsible gun owners that prevents something like this. So the exact opposite is what's required. She's saying less guns, and we're not saying no, just more guns. We're saying allow responsible gun owners and citizens to protect themselves rightly. This, by the way, is why Canadians are up in arms regarding the recent push with anti-gun legislation here in Canada, because we understand that we have a right to be able to protect ourselves, our family, and our property. And we very much see that when those rights are stripped away, the chances of violence or tyranny are increased. And so the first thing is that a solution to this problem, a solution to seeing gun violence in schools, isn't let's just take more guns out of the hands of responsible gun owners and good guys. Because the truth is, people are still going to get their guns illegally, right? They're still going to find a way to do violence. The answer is allow responsible people to defend themselves according to the law. That's the answer. And the second thing that I would say as a way to really deal with this is, I mean, how could we have stopped this? Well, just an idea that people who legitimately struggle with a mental illness and a delusion, who have a suicidality rate higher than any demographic in the history of humanity. Mm-hmm. Like, say what you will about the struggles of quote-unquote trans people, but no one can tell me that it is a greater struggle with less social acceptance than either Jewish people during the Holocaust or Black people during slavery here in North America. Mm-hmm. Because what we can say about our world today is that if you are trans, you are celebrated by the media, the entertainment industry, the elites, the health professionals, everyone's on your side except for the radical Christians.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's such a high instance of mental illness and suicidality compared to these other groups. So the answer is not, we'll enforce the delusion. We'll just continue to make you believe something false about reality, which won't deal with the problems.
Yeah.
Rather, what you need to do is be honest. I've just finished reading The United States of Fear by Mark McDonald. He is a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and he outlines really the problems socially and psychologically during the pandemic era. And one of the things he brings up in the book is that we live in a world where rather than encouraging gender dysphoria, simple talk therapy and time will allow people to deal appropriately with what they're feeling in reality. So the solution of the radical left to a problem like this is affirm trans people and take away weapons. But the truth is those two things will only make the problem worse. It's only going to create more of these problems, not less of these problems. And we know that both of these realities, being honest about what's going on and not encouraging the delusion and giving people the opportunity to defend themselves, these are Christian principles. These are things that the Bible encourages, that we don't participate in lies, but we're people of the truth. And we understand that we've been tasked with the responsibility of defending ourselves, our families, and our property. And so it's the embracing of biblical principles that lead to flourishing, safety, and life. And it is the embracing of a radical, satanic, anti-God agenda that will only lead to more destruction and more loss.
Yeah.
And again, and the great mess in all of this is that the unspoken truth is that the fact that this was distinctly and intentionally against a Christian school and Christians and Christianity, the fact that that's just, we're not going to talk about that, is actually a very loud statement with regard to what is acceptable in our world and in our culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is the thrust of our episode today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we saw that recently in Canada, right? Tons, over a dozen churches across our nation were set ablaze by radical activists. 50 churches. I didn't even know it was that high.
It was 50 churches were set on fire as a result of the residential school misinformation.
And crickets. From our government.
Well, not crickets. Our prime minister said he understands their frustration. Yes.
Well, exactly.
So it was I get it. It's okay. It's understandable.
And that's the same thing that we saw with transgender groups as well in the wake of this shooting. One small paragraph in a statement about the women and the children that were killed in the incident, and a long articulation of why you shouldn't misgender people, even if they're mass murderers. You know, that's the sort of stuff that we're living in Marcuse's world. That's the reality. And the reality is we don't have, in our modern parlance, the idea of Christophobia, a phobia against Christians that we need to appoint a government official to and a bureaucratic arm to stopping Christophobia in Canada and across the world. That doesn't exist. But we're seeing over and over again, Christians are being targeted in this way. And the rhetoric and the celebration of this ideology that really leads to hopelessness and despair, that leads to what you see in the comments by Audrey Hale, a nihilism, right? When she's talking to her friend there, she wants to die. She wants to do violence and harm other people. It's matter of fact. This is a death cult, a dangerous death cult, and we shouldn't be surprised when the fruit of this deadly ideology comes out, and what it bears is death, chaos, and destruction, like we've said over and over again on this program. And this is a tragic case in point to what we've been talking about.
Well, we have two more brief stories that we want to cover that tie into this theme of it's okay to be anti-Christian. It's okay to not necessarily be sad in any suffering or persecution against Christians. So we want to move on to that. But before we do, we want to talk about our friends over at Bull Bitcoin. Separating money from the state is a core tenet of Bitcoin's ethos, a permissionless network where the individual is in full control and accountable for his own property. Bull Bitcoin, Canada's most trusted exchange since 2013, is built around this ethos and leverages it in its mission to end central banks forever. At Bull Bitcoin, where security and privacy are priority, they take it upon themselves to help empower individuals with the most potent form of money the world has ever known. Head over to mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC today and get started with your account creation. Contact Bull's best in the business customer support team at any point throughout the process to request assistance. mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. Take control of your money. This next story that we want to look at highlights something of an international, overseas type nature. And we'll see that the appropriate people respond correctly. But as with the Overton window being shifted, you push the line up until a certain point until someone says, oh, that's too far. And then you just let it sit there. And the person will naturally back off, and then you just keep pushing a little bit more. You just take more and more territory. And so really what we're seeing here is let's push it, and then let's keep pushing it. So, Matt, why don't you take us over to what's happening, what's been going on in Israel?
Well, there's a lot that's been going on in Israel that's even just outside of the story. They're having all sorts of turmoil there politically as it pertains to the Supreme Court and how they're – you know, legal and political situation actually runs there. But amongst all the tumult, what we've seen is that members of the Israeli legislature have sought to enact a law that would ban converting people from Judaism. So two members of the Israeli legislature have proposed such legislation that would make it illegal to convert a person from Judaism. And the Knesset members Moshe Gefni and Yaakov Asher from the United Torah Judaism Party, that's UTJ, submitted the legislation in January and have recently brought it up in the Knesset. Proposed penal law amendment prohibition of solicitation of religious conversion 2023. A, someone who solicits a person directly, digitally, by mail or online in order to convert his religion, the punishment 1 year imprisonment, and if the person was a minor, the punishment 2 years imprisonment. So that's some pretty extreme stuff. This is what the two members recently had to say. Recently, the attempts of missionary groups, mainly Christians, to solicit conversion of religion have increased. At times, these attempts do not involve monetary promises or material gains and are therefore not illegal according to the current law. But the many negative repercussions, including psychological damages, warrant the intervention of the legislature. This is particularly in light of the fact that most of the attempts to bring people to convert their religious target, the weaker classes who, due to their social economic standing, are more easily open to persuasion attempts such as these. Therefore, it is proposed that alongside the prohibition of giving favors as an incentive to convert to religion, also prohibited will be the act of solicitation to convert religion when it is done directly to a person. So we're seeing a common thread there, Andrew. These Christians, they're preying on the weak and the vulnerable. They're trying to do violence psychologically to these people.
I feel like I remember
people.
Another German, a German figure in the mid-1800s who said that religion, primarily Christianity, was the opiate of the masses in order to dull them down and make them feel good about ultimate reality. But really, it was just the dumb peasants who needed to abandon Christianity to rise up and overthrow the bourgeoisie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's Marxism.
Yeah.
that's what that is, an anti... So, and by the way, for the entire history of humanity, you have always had people who've been directly opposed to God, his law, and his order, mm-hmm. with Satan at the helm. It just looks like different things at different times. And so that language of, oh, it's just the dumb poor people that we need to rid them of this Christianity, that's kind of what Marx was saying 200 years ago.
And you notice how this criminal code amendment that's being proposed makes Christians out to be extremely violent actors. They're going in and they're trying to harm people psychologically with religious conversion. That's how it's forwarded. That's dangerous stuff.
Oof. So the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded Wednesday to the concerns from evangelical Christians in the U.S. and from believers in Israel related to the bill. In a tweet, Netanyahu declared in Hebrew and then in English, quote, "We will not advance any law against the Christian community," close quote. So that's good. That's good that he's saying that. I mean, obviously, Benjamin Netanyahu is a friend of the United States and North America. I mean, really, Israel is the only country in the Middle East with Western principles that doesn't absolutely decimate its population with archaic, violent laws and regulations that we're not going to get into. But so he's a friend to the West. So it's good that he says that. We also want to hear from Israeli legal expert David Benjamin. He had this to say when he was interviewed regarding this legislation. Quote, "The Jewish state was set up to protect the Jewish people. Many Jewish people have been lost over the centuries, obviously to genocide, but also by assimilation, forced conversion, etc. So it's a very sensitive point. I think that the fundamental premise of the law is problematic in itself." I mean, that's clearly an understatement. He continues, "I don't think it'll be unacceptable to outlaw. A person trying to persuade another person to adopt any idea, whether it be a religion or any kind of idea. You know, the free flow of ideas, freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, freedom of expression, or fundamental pillars of any democracy." A former U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, warned that it could harm Israel. Quote, When you start to limit your religious freedom in your nation, that's against the UN Charter of Human Rights that Israel and almost all of the rest of the world signed on to, Brownback remarked. You're entitled to practice your faith or change your faith, and I think this is dangerous for Israel, really, since they've been such a beacon of an open society in that region, close quote. So it is becoming acceptable, increasingly so, to single out Christians as the most dangerous, hateful group. That's and
despite,
like you said,
all
you,
the
you
support, spend, like the modern Christian church has given an unbelievable amount of support to Israel as a nation. And much of the tourism that Israel has are Christians going for a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to see Jerusalem, all these things. I mean, a lot of the Christian support of Israel might be rooted in some bad theology, we recognize, but still, there is a kindredness between those of the Judeo-Christian faith, and this is an extreme law being proposed. But again, it seems as though there's crickets from media. There's crickets from so many outlets. Could you imagine if this was proposed as it pertained to Islam? How much the media would say this is even further proof that Israel is a violent, racist, apartheid state that is a Islamic phobia. I mean, but when it comes to Christians,
crickets. So this pretext, the pretext that they have to set up, right? The narrative that they have to set up is that Christians are dangerous and harmful, and
maybe they had
damaging
it coming.
And right, and this is, but I mean, number one, that is demonstrably not the case at all. I mean, just think about the situation. Think about the global situation. Think of every country or continent that has countries where Christianity has touched down, taken root, and essentially the foundations and the establishment of that country are from a Christian worldview. So this is North America. This is Europe. Think of these countries.
Look at you, Andrew. You're a proponent of colonialism. Oh, my word.
Are other ethnicities and religious beliefs allowed to be practiced in these nations freely without discrimination? Of course they are. Of course they are. Now, think about other nations where other religious beliefs or a religious beliefs, right, kind of atheistic nations, are other religious groups allowed to practice freely there? Think about China. China doesn't allow for anyone, Christians or Muslims, to practice their belief there. Even Muslim majority countries, Christians can't freely operate and convert.
It's literally illegal in many dozen countries across the globe to own a Bible.
And it's
illegal to have it.
It's worth noting that without a doubt, it is demonstrable that the most persecuted demographic of people around the world are Christians. Now, we don't see this in North America because, again, our country is founded on biblical principles. But if we look at the world, no group of people is persecuted and killed more for their beliefs or by nature of their demographic than Christians. Not Muslims, not gay people, not trans people. That is all smoke and mirrors. No one is killed more for what they believe in the world than Christians. And yet the spin is that Christians are the cause of so much turmoil, even though, again, Christians created all the hospitals, all the schools, all the orphanages, all the universities, all the humanitarian effort, all Christians drove scientific discovery in the Middle Ages. And so it doesn't, forget about all that. That doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. Christians are now a hateful group. And the pretext is, if this is who they are, then it's okay to hate them, right? It's okay to punch a Nazi because it's a Nazi. And it's okay for Christians to suffer because they're a Christian. But the truth is that when religious liberty, which, by the way, is a distinctly Christian ideal, in case anyone mm-hmm. forgets, because I've just shown you that in countries where you do not have a Christian foundation, religious liberty is not at all protected or a value to be elevated.
Yeah.
So religious liberty, which is a distinctly Christian ideal, if that is not protected, then it hurts everyone, including non-Christians. This is the irony. Non-Christians benefit more living in a Christian nation than they do anywhere else in the world, which they're mm-hmm. trying to tell us is the opposite, right? People, men who have sex with men, are safer and prosper more in countries with Christian foundations than countries that do not have a Christian foundation. Mm-hmm. This is why all these radical feminists, send them over to Saudi Arabia or Indonesia, or send them over to these countries or Pakistan, and let's see them rally and protest there. Let's see what'll happen. No one is safe. Non-Christians are safer in Christian majority countries than anywhere else in the world. That is a fact. And so the spin is a lie, and it's harmful mm-hmm. to everyone. We got to get to our last story. But before we do, if you're listening to our program, you're probably someone who works very hard to provide for your family. Whether that's inside the home or outside, no one has an audience that works harder than this one. But here's a couple of important questions to ask. Are you saving for your children? Do you know what you'll be able to leave for your children and your children's children? RockLink is a Christian firm through and through, and they take the biblical command to plan for the future and by God's grace leave an inheritance for your children. Send them an email today and ask about how they can partner with your family. Email RockLink at info@rocklink.com or visit them at www.rocklink.com. That's link with the C, rocklink.com. This last story that we're going to talk about is still developing, in that we're still kind of gathering some primary source testimony mm-hmm. and information and really wade through what's going on. But this story comes to us, and we're taking from Campaign Life Coalition, and we have the links to the website here. And so it says this, quote, "A subcommittee of the Conservative Party of Canada has just disqualified Garrett Van Dorland, the pro-lifer whom CLC, that's Campaign Life Coalition, endorsed for the Oxford nomination to replace longtime MP Dave McKenzie. We believe it was primarily because of Garrett's pro-life beliefs and secondarily because Pierre Poilievre had his own preferred candidate in the race, a former staffer of his. With Poilievre coming out as the new CPC leader and his promises of open nominations, respect for democracy, and his pledge to remove the gatekeepers, we thought things would be different than it was under Aaron O'Toole and Andrew Scheer. Both of the latter men went on the war path to disqualify pro-lifers and social conservatives. We certainly hope Poilievre wouldn't become a gatekeeper himself, blocking popular grassroots conservatives from being able to run. We thought the skullduggery of rigged nomination elections was over with O'Toole's departure. We hope that the type of discrimination against social conservative nomination candidates practiced by O'Toole and Scheer was a thing of the past. But under Poilievre, it appears this skullduggery has continued." By the way, skullduggery means underhanded or shady dealings, just in case anyone's wondering. I know it almost sounds like a little bit of a pirate term, but it's underhanded, shady kind of dealings. So just so we know what that word means. Continue. "In this case, Poilievre even violated the party's internal rules and endorsed his preferred candidate. The leader is not supposed to take sides." So, Matt, before you kind of have some comments, I'll say this as well. I believe, allegedly, right, this is still alleged, I believe that we also have been a victim of a similar kind of thing. And by that, I mean this. There was an event that was being held in Ottawa not that long ago, the Religious Freedom Summit. And the Religious Freedom Summit, when I went on the website to look at it, what I noticed for the Religious Freedom Summit is that there hadn't been a single pastor in Canada who'd been arrested or fined for keeping his church open. that was a speaker at this event. Not one of them. Now, you would think that it would have made sense to invite Tim Stevens or James Coates or Aaron Rock or Jacob Rheaume to the Religious Freedom Summit. You think that would make sense?
Given the fact that they were fined or thrown in jail for keeping their
church. So not them. Yeah. So they weren't invited. Fine. But Liberty Coalition Canada was also not invited to the Religious Freedom Summit. The Religious Freedom Summit, the Liberty Coalition Canada, who,
Andrew,
if you know, we are defending a student who's being discriminated for his religious beliefs in the Renfrew Catholic School Board. And we've defended other Canadians who've been discriminated against during the COVID era that we're working with people to run at all levels of politics.
Put up the Niagara Declaration, all these things.
The Church Must Gather initiative, right? So we're doing this work. And so Liberty Coalition Canada was not invited. So
Well, Andrew, can I, weren't we uninvited?
Matt, we weren't uninvited. We were not invited at all. Okay. And then what we did is we contacted organizers and said, well, we'd like to be there. We'd like to have a table and we'd like to give Josh Alexander a few minutes to share because he's being discriminated for his religious beliefs.
Yes.
And so we were given a table, but then a number of the sponsors told the organizers that if Liberty Coalition Canada is there as a sponsor with the table, then we are pulling out. We don't want to be associated with them. So then we received word from the organizers, hey, sorry, the other sponsors are pulling out because they heard you guys have a table. Now, I'm just conjecture here. Mm-hmm. But I think that given the list of sponsors, one of the reasons why some of them might have said we don't want anything to do with LCC might be because, similar to Garrett Van Dorlen, we are very strong and biblical in our anti-abortion position.
Yes.
Right. Our position, which is a Christian biblical position, is it's murder, it's infanticide. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, anyone who's involved in the murder of another person needs to be tried to determine culpability, and if found guilty, should receive the full weight of the punishment for their guilt. That includes the mother and the doctor and anyone else, right? We have to go through all the appropriate measures to make sure that it's just and righteous.
And if you want to hear a longer conversation, we just had myself and Mike had a long conversation on abortion and actually pertaining to, you know, the legal ramifications of it and everything, if it were to be outlawed, with AJ Hurley of Live Action. It was a great discussion. I would just say, if you want more from that, to just hear where we're coming from, definitely go over and watch that episode.
So I bring all that up to say I'm not surprised by conservative or neoconservative people or organizations, right? Those who say we're about freedom and rights and liberty in Canada, who say, if you really want to be a part of us, you have to be a certain type of Christian. So you can be a flaky evangelifish that is in principle. That you can be that kind of Christian. But if you're a principled Christian with real biblical moorings, then you're not welcome here, right? That's the kind of Christian we can say, no thanks. We can cut you out of society. We don't want anything to do with you. This is the kind of Christian, by the way, that the party formerly known as the Conservative Party for years has said, yeah, we'll fight for your values and your vote for us. And then the moment they get elected, like Stephen Harper, then he says, now, social conservatives, that's enough out of you. Keep quiet about all your marriage, abortion stuff. We're just going to spend money well. So it is okay to hate on real, true Christians as long as they're not squishy and flaky.
Yeah, and that's the reality of the situation. We've been calling for it for a long time, that this Conservative Party federally in Canada is anything but conservative. They're conservatives. They're fake conservatives that have been ideologically captured by, you know, in many respects, they've just compromised so much that they're lukewarm. They're not good for anything but spitting out of the mouth. And that's what we're dealing with this CPC party. And I have so many dear friends and former colleagues at CCBR who they've given so much of their time, so much of their effort to campaigns for the CPC out of the hopes that the CPC, as the established conservative party in Canada, would do something for the preborn. There's been thousands of man hours poured into helping platform that party for the sake of preborn children and their rights in Canada. And this is how they repay pro-lifers. Garrett is a strong pro-lifer. He's been engaged in the internship program for CCBR. That's the Center for Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform that I was used to be employed for. Garrett is a very good man, strong Christian from the Dutch Reformed tradition. He's really just an articulate, energetic, talented guy who would have made a great representative in that area, which is happens to be one of the most really conservative counties in all of Canada. I've no doubt he would have been a shoo-in to get not only if he got the nomination to win, but to just do a great job representing those people. But what have we seen over and over and over and over and over again? That we're living in Canada under party tyranny. And this is, we had a debate, open debate with Max Bernier on this program as it pertains to this very issue, abortion. But the one thing that we, in the discussion, and we would just link, we'll link it in the description below if you want to watch it, that Max pointed out is, unlike the Conservative Party, which he, to his credit, was saying was so far gone, we can't reform it. It's just, it's not a Conservative Party. We have to leave it. We have to start our own thing. He won't whip votes and control caucuses in the way that the CPC has engaged in. It's been O'Toole. It's been more subversively Ashir. It's been conservative leader after conservative leader, even Harper, as you may mention. And now it's Polyev. All these guys are cut from the same cloth. They're all a part of the inner conservative
that cloth,
establishment.
That cloth, by the way, is red. That cloth they're cut from, it's red, not blue.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that in the Conservative Party, you can have active, like, liberals, like, real liberals running for the lead of the Conservative Party. Like, you could have people who say, social conservatives are an stinking albatross around the neck of the Conservative Party in Canada, be a viable potential leader for the party. The fact that you can have that ought to say everything you need to know about the Conservative Party. And we're saying over and over again, guys, stop thinking that if we don't win the next election, the world's over. Stop throwing your pearls before swine. Stop giving them your time and your money and your hard-earned efforts when all they ever do is spit in your face. You're not the kingmakers. You've got to stop it. You have to realize they're telling you exactly what they think about you over and over and over and over again. And why will you not believe them? That is why what we say on this program is obviously not popular in very many conservative circles. It's even not popular with some freedom fighters because we talk about issues like abortion from a Christian theonomic perspective. But we're going to give it to you straight, and we're going to give it to you unfiltered and unvarnished. And the reality is, it's not just radical pro-Israel Zionists who want to stop Christian conversion or radical trans activists who want to violently do harm to Christians. It's even the so-called conservative parties in our nation who want to shut up Christians. Why? Because we're convicted. We believe that Christ is king, that his law must rule, that he must have a supreme allegiance, and that he holds every man to account, no matter their state, to an objective standard that they have to be held accountable to. And that's something that even supposed conservative leaders don't want to listen to. Because the fact of the matter is, the CPC right now, who is the deputy leader in their shadow cabinet? An open lesbian. Right? That's what we're dealing with in conservatism. They're not true conservatives. They're not, they're compromised, and compromise is a grave sin that the Lord he abominably hates compromise. In fact, it's compromise that is indicative of a culture being so far gone that God's severe wrath and judgment is about to be poured out on a nation. That is what we see historically through, if you're doing a biblical theology, it's compromise, and it's compromise amongst those who supposedly speak for him or are on his side that he abhors greatly. And that's what we're seeing with CPC.
It goes deeper than that too, and I'm gonna give an example and kind of wrap this all up for us. That I just received notification that the bunch of mainline churches in Renfrew County on March 31st will have the Transgender Day of Visibility. And the reason why, I was just reading an article from the Inside Ottawa Valley. And because of all the trans hate and transphobia and misinformation regarding what's happening in the schools and trans stuff, and basically because someone like Josh Alexander is so bold in what he's doing, they're having their Trans Day of Visibility, and there's all these mainline churches, all these Rainbow Mafia churches. And so on all levels, starting from those who would actually dare profess and bear the name of Christ, who say they're a Christian church, to the Conservative Party, to the legacy media, to the state, to international bodies, what we see through and through is that it is okay and celebrated to hate, discriminate against, and even take action against true Christians who stand upon a biblical foundation. This is the world we live in. And so that's why, all the way at the top of the show, I read from John's gospel, where Jesus said, essentially, they hated him, so they're going to hate his followers. They killed him, so they're going to come against his followers. They persecuted him, so they're going to persecute his followers. And we should not be surprised that this is the case. We should not be surprised when we see the world saying it's okay to be anti-Christian or Christophobic, as you said, Matt, that this is fine in our world. It is fine for this to be the case, that if someone who clearly has an anti-Christian bent goes and shoots up people at a Christian school, this woman will not be taken to task for it by the legacy media. If anything, they'll try to spin it to say, oh, it's because of the anti-trans legislation. So that's fine. We're not going to say anything about that. It's fine to put Christians in prison for converting people. It's fine to disqualify them from serving in political office. It's fine to throw them under the bus and say that they're a hateful group for being anti-trans. It's all fine. That's the world we live in, but that's okay. This is what we signed up for. This is precisely what Jesus told his disciples. Reading in Luke 9 and Luke 14, he tells them, if you're going to follow me, be ready, right? You got to count the cost. It's going to cost you. You don't start building a house unless you count the materials. You don't go in a war unless you assess the actual battle tactics. He tells his followers, if you're not ready to take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And so that's what we want to leave with you as we wrap this episode. You cannot be surprised when the world hates you because of your allegiance to Christ. You cannot be surprised when all levels and all authorities and all matter of government, media, and organizations will speak vile things against you, say it's okay to hate you, and actually come against you violently, or actually discriminate against you. You should not be surprised when this is the case, because Jesus has warned his people that this would be the case. And so we are not afraid, because if Jesus warned us, he also said, take heart, I've overcome the world. You will face tribulation, but take heart. He has overcome the world. He has given us his strength and his spirit to endure. And he's given us the certainty of the victory of the gospel and his church, that he will build his church. The gates of hell will not be able to stand against it, that the keys of the kingdom have been placed in the hands of Christians who will advance the kingdom, bring all things under the lordship of Christ. And so we are free because of the work that Christ has done. Mm-hmm. We're free to obey him. We're free to live in such a way, knowing that it could cost us. We are free, even as the Apostle Paul would say, we are free that if my life is being poured out as a drink offering, that's fine, to the glory of God. So we've been freed from fear. We've been freed from slavery to sin. We've been freed from the worry of, oh, what happens if the world hates me and they discriminate against me? Yeah, guess what? That is what we signed up for. But it's okay, because God's purposes will prevail. We can have joy. We can have strength. And we'll be fine. Even if it means the worst of us, means, like Paul would say, I rejoice because I get to go. My spirit gets to be with the Lord for the time being. Yeah. So we can be bold and free.
Even if it means martyrdom, the reality is the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. This is something that they cannot even kill our bodies, right? Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they might kill, God's truth will triumph still. That's Martin Luther. That's the hope that the reformers had. That's the hope we have in Christ, because as you've made mention, Andrew, Christ has overcome the world, and those who are united to him by faith in the Spirit have likewise overcome the world. And it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to yoke of slavery. Till next time, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.